When it starts rattling rusty pipes, the rust comes loose, so bear with me for a while. Maybe this will get cleared out, I don't know. I'll blame it on allergies. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you this morning. Bring to our attention some things I think are very important. I've got so many things on mind that I don't really know where to start, but we've got to get started on the gods. I got less than 20 minutes left. I've got a list of things at home, a long list of things I hear, and I wonder why. And that has to do with our spiritual life, our spiritual language, our use of Bible language, Bible terms, and the ways, the things we say, and the things that the way we say them. I don't see him here this morning, but I want to commend Mark Kendrick for something he did the last class he held. And the one before that, he occasionally made a reference to people having various opinions. Men had a lot of opinions, and he inadvertently and quite innocently said, God may have an opinion too. Well, he got up and corrected that. That's one of the things I'm talking about. Next lesson, he said, he admitted that God doesn't have an opinion. He has something, but it's not an opinion. You have opinions, I have opinions, but God doesn't have opinions. He has power, he has authority, he gives commands, he demands, but he doesn't give us an opinion to follow. See what I'm getting at? Isaiah 55:8-9, God said through the prophet, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's changed, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And to skip to the next line, he says, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. As a foundation, let me go through a few passages of scriptures to establish the importance of what we say and how we say it. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, ye offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's where it all comes from. James 1:26, James said, if a man seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. Bridle means to control. We need to control our tongue. James 3:1-10, brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation as teachers. For in many things we offend, in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. And he goes on to say several things about the use of the tongue and what kind of an evil it is and how it needs to be contained, controlled, bridled. He says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's what our tongue can do, bring forth deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These things should not be. Matthew 12:35, Jesus said, a man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And he says after that, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion. Hebrews 6:1, leaving the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The principle is clearly and undeniably established. We need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. There's a number of things I'd like to talk about, but I'll just drop a few here at the front and then concentrate on one in particular. One of them is we use the expression inadvertently and innocently enough, and I think it's wrong. We refer to God asking us to do things. It's not so, folks. God doesn't ask. He commands. He demands. He requires. It's not an ask when God gives us a duty. One other little thing. We pray that our worship, we pray for things, the outcome of things that have already happened. And the one example is this. It's very simple. Needs correcting, though. We pray after the fact our worship has been acceptable. Think about that. It either has or it hasn't. We're not, our prayer is not going to change it. We pray for things in the future that our worship will be acceptable. We trust that our worship has been acceptable. We hope it has been, but praying for it, it's already happened. The one I want to concentrate on, I hope, having a few minutes. And I've done this before, and I want to do it again because I think it's important. And that's the use of the holy name Christian, the misuse of it. Are you listening? The name Christian is used 3 times in the New Testament. Acts 11:26, and when he had found, I believe, as Barnabas brought Paul into Antioch, disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. Agrippa said to Paul, Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, excuse me, but glorify God on this behalf or in this name. You notice that there's a specific use of the word Christian by the Holy Spirit. It's a noun, not an adjective. Why do we want to make an adjective out of it and apply it to things instead of people? A Christian is a person, a baptized believer, one who follows Christ. It's not an inanimate object or a thing, but we're inclined sometimes to make the word Christian an adjective and apply it to just about anything you can think of. In the Old Testament, the word Shem is used to denote name or renown. The Gentiles, Isaiah 62:2, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all things thy glory, all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. You get that? It's a divine name. The mouth of the Lord shall give it to us. In Isaiah 56, thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, my people. Even them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, a name better than their sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And I'll add my comment, or perverted. Concerning the rich, James 2:7, he says, do not they oppress you and drag you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you're called. Of course, we're named, called by the name of Christ, but as a follower of Christ, we're called Christians. The word, Greek word epikileo means we're called and has the much same connotation as krimatizo in Romans 8, 30, 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, 2 Thessalonians 2, 14, Hebrews 9, 15. And if you want that list, I'd be glad to give it to you. I recommend that you look at those to see and realize the impact of epikileo, how it's used. In 1 Corinthians 1, addressing the problem at Corinth, Paul said, people were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Paul asked, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? To be called a Christian, or called after Christ, one, you must be a person for whom Christ was crucified. One who was baptized in the name of Christ, not an inanimate object. None can make that claim. The name Christian is applied only to a living, breathing person, not an institution or not any other such thing. Okay, my appeal is this. Don't use the divine, holy name that God gave can be blasphemed when, as cited by James in 2:7, one in which God is to be glorified, an honorable name, in any other way than what the Scripture uses it. God's only word uses the word only to denote a person. It's using the name of the person. A Christian is a name, not a descriptive adjective. Perhaps God foresaw the tragic errors that would occur by making this holy name merely an adjective. The word's a noun. Nouns name persons, places, or things. It's restricted in the Scripture to persons. Okay, common usage, some seemingly innocent ones. Let's look at them. We say a Christian man. Or a Christian woman, use it as an adjective. Sound innocent enough? A Christian life, a Christian family, doesn't seem so bad. But one step in the wrong direction makes the next one easier. What stops us from going on to refer to a Christian college, a Christian hospital, a Christian nation, Christian music, Christian rock and roll, Christian books and Christian bookstore, the Christian church. You see where it goes? These uses are impractical and have no real meaning anywhere and grossly misunderstood by the masses. Is it therefore miscommunication? Any time we're inclined to use the name Christian as an adjective, we could have used a better word that's more descriptive, more accurate, scriptural, and tells better what we mean. We want to refer to something as Christian. Why not use the term godly? Now, that's an adverb, and it's used in the Bible. It's descriptive. How about holy? That's a good word. Describes better a person than to make an adjective out of it, but using the name Christian. Okay, how about pure? That's another good one. Godly, holy, and pure. Kind of means more accurately what we may have meant when we called something Christian as an adjective. To speak as the oracle of God, we must use the name as the Holy Spirit used it in Scripture. That's plain. Let us use that word to name persons for whom Christ died, who've been baptized in the name of Christ, who are followers of Christ. And I want one last thing here, and I'll quit. In view of the divinity and holiness of this God-given name. Why would I, anyone, you, allow yourself to use it as an adjective? Why would you desire to use it as an adjective? Why would you dare? Why would you dare use it as an adjective? Have you earned the privilege of wearing the holy name Christian? To wear the name of Christ, you must be His. To be His, you must be baptized into it. A very special name, Christian, is reserved for a very special person. We all need to be one. Thank you.